Uncle Fletcher's outside, huh?
Uncle Fletcher and a friend of his.
What friend?
Mr. Dwight 26er.
Oh, oh my goodness.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, those ninnies.
You might tell us what this is all about, Rush.
Romance.
Pick and Save, brought to you by Oxidol, the soap that's famous for washing clothes so clean, they're white without bleaching. Twins turn the tables in tonight's story from Oxidol's White Without Bleaching book. Mrs. Campbell says,
"It's usually hard to tell my twins, Douglas and David, apart.
But
when Douglas caught the chicken pox, David went to stay with his aunt.
And?
When he came home, it was easy to tell them apart.
Really?
Because David's shirts looked so white. I called his aunt and asked if she'd bleached them.
I see.
But she said no, that Oxidol washed them white without bleaching. Now, I use Oxidol, too.
Like Mrs. Campbell, use Oxidol yourself. And see even the grimiest clothes come white without bleaching. Oxidol's active hustle bubble suds pitch right in and lift out even the last possible trace of dirt that lazy suds almost always leave behind. With Oxidol, all your white things wash so spanking clean that except for unusual stains, they're white without bleaching. And colors are a bright delight because Oxidol is really safe for all wash colors and rayons. For dazzling whiteness, use Oxidol and hang out a wash that's white without bleaching. Well, sir, it's late afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and her neighbor from across the alley, Mrs. Florence Harris. The ladies are seated on the davenport, industriously crocheting and pleasantly chatting. Mrs. Harris has the floor at the moment and is holding forth in this wise.
Mrs. Razorscum was saying the other day that a person gets over a sweet tooth. I don't agree. Oh, look at Father. He's had a sweet tooth ever since he was a little boy. Mrs. Razorscum said her uncle ran a confectionery store when she was a child, and she had access to all the candy she could eat, and she ate so much she got tired of it and hasn't eaten any since.
Hmm.
Well, I suppose there's people and people. I knew a girl back in Sweet Esther, Wisconsin.
Excuse me, Miss Harris.
Rush!
I never heard anybody come in.
Rush! I know you're in the dining room.
Okay, Mom.
Come in here.
All right.
How long has he been in the house?
Not long.
Afternoon, Miss Harris.
Oh, good afternoon, Rush.
What's the idea of all that pussyfooting and slinking around?
I never fooled you, huh?
No.
Did you hear me come in the kitchen?
Uh-huh.
Wasn't you scared it was burglars or somebody?
No.
Why not?
I saw you toss your cap on the dining room table.
By George, they say every evildoer makes one fatal error and gives himself away.
I also caught your reflection in the looking glass over the buffet.
I'm a punk criminal and no mistake. I better stay honest.
You never answered my question. What was the idea of all the pussyfooting and slinking around?
I was on a secret mission.
Oh?
I was obtaining information for a certain party.
Children and their imaginations. Oh, I bet you were making believe you were some dangerous spy from some foreign government. Weren't you right?
No, I wasn't. I was on a genuine secret mission. If I can collect from the party that hired me, I'll earn a buffalo nickel.
What's this now?
Well, I guess there's no harm in telling. Uncle Fletcher's outside, and he asked me to unobtrusively find out if Miss Harris was here or not.
What?
Uncle Fletcher's quite a fella for doing stuff the hard way. He likes to have wheels within wheels and the steel hand and iron gloves.
Uncle Fletcher's outside, huh?
Uncle Fletcher and a friend of his.
What friend?
Mr. Dwight 26er.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, those ninnies.
You might tell us what this is all about, Rush.
Romance.
Oh, I never heard of such ninnies.
Neither did I.
Oh, that Dwight 26er with his mouth always full of shingle nails.
They buttonholed you outside, huh, and told you to come crawling in here on your hands and knees and see if Miss Harris was present?
Well, they never exactly told me to come crawling in on my hands and knees. They asked me to unobtrusively determine whether
or
not...
Afternoon, Sadie, honey.
In the living room, Marlene.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Here's the thing, Mom. They got a scrapbook they want to show you.
Scrapbook?
A catalog of newspaper clippings and photographs and junk, all dealing with Dwight 26th. They want Miss Harris to see it.
I never heard of such ninnies.
Why do they want Miss Harris to see their scrapbook?
Romance.
Oh, this is just monstrous.
Ready, honey? In the living room, are they?
You know I am.
Are you alone?
No. Are you?
I have Dwight 26er with me.
Afternoon, Mrs. Goodman.
Oh, that awful man. His mouth full of shingle nails.
Come on in, Uncle Fletcher.
I have Dwight 26er with me.
Well, bring him in with you.
I have to leave in just a minute, Miss Gook.
You're the pretty lady the gentlemen have come to see.
A father will be waking up from his nap over home and be hungry and whiny, and
I'd
better...
very pretty weather outside, Sadie, honey, in spite of the chilly wind. I was just saying to Dwight... Why, Miss Harris, ma'am, this is an unexpected pleasure.
How do you do, Mr. Rush?
I'm first rate. I believe you and this gentleman have formed one another's acquaintance, are we?
Colonel, Miss Harris, ma'am. Pass the course of this official occasion.
How do you do, Mr. 26,
ma'am? I found myself very happy. You're looking fine this afternoon, Mrs. Cook.
You're looking fine this afternoon, Mrs. Gould?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure because you have your mouth full of shingle nails.
Oh, I generally always have a mouth full of shingle nails.
I generally always have my mouth full of shingle nails.
Uh-huh.
Well, Rush, honey, are you on deck also?
Yeah.
You saw Rush outside, didn't you, Uncle Fletcher?
Sadie, I have here a volume of newspaper clippings and photographs I thought might be of slight interest to you.
Really?
The newspaper clippings and photographs concerns, Dwight 26er.
Well,
Miss Harris might possibly find the volume faintly fascinating.
I always like to look at scrapbooks. Oh, Mr. Rush, are you winking at me?
Oh, yes, Uncle Fletcher. Goodness.
The other night in the Bijou moving picture show, four-fisted Frank Fuddleman and Gloria...
Lady, honey, I wonder if you ladies wouldn't move over a little bit and allow me to squeeze in between on the Davenport there. And that way we can all three examine the scrapbook at once.
All right.
You haven't any objections, are they, Miss Harris?
No.
Plenty of room on the Davenport for three?
Yes.
Rush, old boy, you can examine the scrapbook on some other occasion.
Okay.
Right, you just sit quiet in the easy chair there.
Okay. Whatever you say, Rush.
And don't be casting secret admiring glances at the face of any one particular person present.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Mrs. Harris, ma'am, I am sure it can't be altogether brilliant for you that for a long time I have very clean...
You better let me handle this, Dwight. You might botch it up.
Well, okay.
Dwight is like a bull in a china shop sometimes. He's liable to blurt out garbage before the time is right.
Like a bull in a china shop up there.
Here, ladies, we have the scrapbook.
Yeah.
You'll notice that on the cover we have the title, Dwight 26er, in large gold letters.
I cut those letters out of some Christmas wrapping paper. What time was that? 14 years old.
Yes, Dwight, you cut those letters out of some Christmas wrapping paper when you were only 14 years old.
That's right.
I turn, ladies, to page one.
Mm.
Here we have a short newspaper article.
Uh-huh.
I will take the liberty of reading this newspaper article. Rush, you don't have to bother with glasses. Read this newspaper article, will you?
Sure.
Is this picture on the next page here a photograph of you when you were a baby, Mr. 26er?
No, just a photograph of my Uncle George. But he may be.
With your mouth full of shingle nails, I can't understand what you're saying. I can't...
No, that's a photograph of my Uncle George when he was a baby. All right, read the newspaper article.
Mary Ann Garter of 618 West Olive Street entertained a group of her tiny friends at a birthday party Tuesday afternoon. Among those present were Alfred Tumper, Jane and Susan May Flunch, William Rubiner Jr., Alex McPoopley, and Dwight 26er.
Oh, Mr. Rush, you stop winking at me.
Read on, Rush.
The prize for the funniest costume, the prize for the best stunt, the prize for eating the most popcorn, and the prize for guessing the most riddles were all won by Dwight 26er.
How old were you at the time, Dwight?
7.
He was 7 when he done all that in his house?
No.
I'll take the book back now, Rush.
Okay.
I don't suppose 4 could squeeze on the Davenport, Sadie.
No.
Sure?
Positive.
Quit looking so crestfallen, Dwight.
Well, I am crestfallen.
Let's go ahead and look at the book.
The photograph on the next page here shows Dwight's Uncle George taken when he was an infant. Dwight's Uncle George grew up to be the fastest motorcycle rider in Nashville, Tennessee.
He was arrested 44 times for speeding.
He was arrested 44 times for speeding.
Mercy.
This uncle of Dwight never used salt, tipped his hat to ladies and gentlemen alike, invented a combination necktie and table napkin, refused to admit he was left-handed, and married wearing one button shoe and one lace shoe.
Think of that.
As it is easy to see, Dwight comes from a remarkable family.
Yes.
They will turn the page.
Smelly Clark's Uncle Seth dearly loves to frighten his lady friend by calling her on the telephone.
This next page is crammed with fascinating photographs. Also, there are several exciting letters. Rush, old man, lean over and read aloud this particular letter, which is written on stationery with lace around the edges. A letter which is powdered, perfumed, and scented.
Okay.
Listen carefully, Miss Harris.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Bewildering creature, I saw you in the lobby of the theater last night. I am dying to meet you. Call Yosemite 6754. Comtesse Helena B. Fandel.
I followed that letter in my throat when I was attending
theater. Let me handle this, Dwight.
Look, all right.
Dwight found that letter in his hat when he was attending the theater in Seattle, Washington in 1932.
My goodness.
There's other exciting letters like that in this volume.
Well.
Dwight, I want you to take my seat on the davenport here beside Mrs. Harris.
All right. Fine.
Rush and Sadie, honey, I have something mighty interesting to show you in the basement.
What are you saying, Uncle Fletcher?
Come with me.
Come with you where?
I have something mighty, mighty interesting to show you in Rush down cellar.
Concludes another brief visit at the small house halfway up in the next block. But let's think about your house, about your tablecloths. Are they snowy white? Well, if you wash them with Oxidol, they are, because Oxidol gets them snowy white, white without bleaching. Oxidol's Hustle Bubble Suds are so industrious they lift dirt out. Why, actual tests prove Oxidol washes clothes cleaner and whiter than lazy soaps can ever do. Even grimiest pieces, except for unusual stains, wash white without bleaching. Oxidol's so safe, too, for all wash colors and rayons. So use Oxidol for a wash that's white without bleaching. Listen Monday night, same time, when the makers of Oxidol again bring you Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. But right now, listen.
Say, did you know that just one cake of Camay can mean a smoother, softer skin? Say, did you know that just one cake of Camay is the way you should begin? You ought to try it now. You'd better start today. The Camay Mild Soap Diet is the lovely woman's way for softer and more glam. Camay, Camay, Camay. So for a lovelier complexion, change from inadequate cleansing to correct Camay care. Camay.
This is Rye Billsbury inviting you to be with us again Monday evening for Vic and Sade. Until Monday then, good night. Our country desperately needs used fat to help make soap and hundreds of other items. So to have more soap, save more used fat. You get 4 cents a pound.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.